My family doesn't get to go on vacation much. With five of us playing baseball or softball in the summer, we are quite busy. When we do find time, our parents try to make the most of it. Many of our trips include traveling to natural parks and attractions around Iowa because it is cheap, but also because my stepbrother Gavin has hemophilia. Hemophilia is a bleeding disorder where his blood doesn't clot correctly. He is easily injured and his bruises are much more painful. This limits the places we can travel because he can't participate in certain activities because they could cause a bleed. A common place we travel to is Backbone State Park in Dundee, Iowa. We often trout fish, camp in the RV and tents, swim in the lake, and explore the limestone trails and caves. I love to scale Devil's Backbone Trail. This trail ushers you up to one of the highest points in Iowa and down through one of the streams that goes through the park. Walking in the stream is optional, but we cherish our moments meandering in the water. I prefer this trail because I enjoy mounting the limestone and shimmying through the narrow paths and crevices nature has created. At one point, you need to ascend through a hole in the limestone to access the trail down below. It makes me feel like Indiana Jones or any other jungle explorer. When we jaunt this trail, I'm always looking forward to hiking in the water. It is often sweltering when we go because the only time we can travel is in late July. The stream water provides a chance for us to cool down and escape the heat. The first time we trekked the water portion of Devil's Backbone will be an experience I will never forget. As we neared the stream's edge, we all took off our shoes and socks and put them in a purple Hemophilia of Iowa waterproof cinch sack that my dad carried on his back. We removed our clothes to reveal our bathing suits. We all creeped into the brisk, ankle-high water. It was so cold that it made my arm hair stand on end. When you first step into the water, your feet have to adapt to the rocky surface on the bottom of the stream. Once everyone was set, my oldest stepbrother, Cade, led the way. He leads for two reasons. The first being, he is tall, so he can help warn us when the stream gets deep. We call it a stream, but the body of water in most parts is above waist high on me. And I am 5 foot and 2 inches tall. In some parts, the stream can get over my head in depth. The second reason he leads is he is adventurous and loves to be the first to discover new things. Initially, I strolled with him in the front of the pack, but quickly fell to the back because I like to stop and enjoy certain sights. I also have short legs, which probably doesn't help my case. As we embarked on our journey, my stepmother reminded us to follow the flow of the stream. We pursued the stream, and soon, electric blue fish and neon yellow graffiti waves appeared on a rusty, rugged railroad bridge overhead. The stream also led us to a low-hanging hiking bridge where my stepbrother almost hit his head and decided to show off and do as many pull-ups as possible before his stepmother yelled at him to get down before the bridge collapsed on him. As we promenaded through the water, we would hit warm spots in the stream. We soon spotted some tiny forest green blobs swimming by our feet. We decided that they were tadpoles, and it became a contest to see who could catch one first. Gloop! The water went as I quickly crashed my hands together. I would peer into the scant hole I made between the bases of my uneven thumbs. The tiny tadpoles always managed to escape my possession just in time. As we continued striding through the water, I made sure to peer down into the water to ensure I wouldn't step on any tadpoles. On the other hand, my brothers would try to flatten them with their feet. Luckily, they never did. Every once in a while, we would pause on a sandbar to rehydrate and reapply sunscreen. We continued our journey enjoying the songs of the sparrows in the trees and the tepid sun on our skin. My stepsister somehow wriggled to the front of the pack. I watched her skedaddle when, ploop, she sunk under the water. My stepbrother hastily swam ahead and pulled her up. I went to help, but he yelled at me to not move because the water appeared deeper than I could handle. All I could hear was the sound of my own heartbeat beating ferociously in my chest. My parents swam over and my dad clutched my sister in his arms. She was safe. We all sighed with relief. My heartbeat slowed and I could once again hear the sparrows sing. Once my sister recovered, we swiftly swam past the deep water. I then spotted something red and yellow 100 or so yards in front of me. As we swam closer, we identified the mystery objects as two kayakers. A lady wearing a bright blue tank top asked us, "What are you doing in this portion of the water?" My stepmom responded, "We were just walking the stream." The lady in the blue shirt studied us as if we were insane and then informed us that we were in the wrong part of the stream. Perplexed, my stepmother asked the lady, "We were following the flow of the water, so how did we end up here?" The kayak lady had a moment of realization and replied, "You are supposed to go against the flow of the stream." Kay turned to me and declared, That explains why the water got so deep. This portion exists for kayaking, not hiking. My jaw dropped in realization. We thanked the kayakers for their assistance and asked them for any other nuggets of wisdom. The only thing they offered was, go against the flow. We turned around and swam back over the deep ravine. I swam as quick as possible over the ravine as my heart raced. I haven't always been the strongest swimmer. We continued back the way we came, going against the flow, and then we hit a fork. We couldn't recall which side of the fork in the stream we emerged from, right or left, right or left. We bickered back and forth. Finally, we came to a consensus that we needed to take the right. We continued hiking and found another area where there were tiny tadpoles. Of course, we stopped and tried to catch the slimy little suckers. I gave up because my back hurt and I knew I was nowhere close to catching anything. Finally, Gavin caught one in his cupped hands. He left it in the water while all of us children yelled for our parents' attention. At the time, we didn't realize it, but this action eliminated our chance to catch any more tadpoles because we scared them all away. My stepmother came over and dug her camera out of the cinch sack. She captured a picture of Gavin and the tiny tadpole we named Squish. We all said our goodbyes to Squish as Gavin released him back into the open water. Since we were already stopped and the bag was out, we all grabbed some water and Happy Smiles fruit snacks from Walmart. You could tell that we were all exasperated. At this point, my little sister hitched a ride on Cade's back. We continued pushing through the water and saw the rusty, rugged railroad bridge we passed under earlier. We all rejoiced and high-fived each other. We weren't lost anymore, and we knew we were close to being done. Swatting the bridge gave us the final piece of energy we needed to get back to the starting point. We kicked it into high gear, and we're back to the beginning in no time. Once we returned, we all dried off and started the trek back to the car. As we moseyed on back, we all recalled our adventurous hike. Cade showing off on the railroad bridge, Ava nearly drowning, to Gavin catching a tiny tadpole with his bare hands are all memories we will never forget. One of the biggest memories being getting lost in the stream. Backbone offers us a place to bond despite our differences in interests and health. Because of this, it will always be a place full of memories for my family and I.